a lot of attention is being paid to the U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops' Fortnight for Freedom, a two-week campaign culminating with the 4th of July and intended to raise the issue of alleged threats to religious liberty nationwide. Emotions are running high on both sides of this effort among supporters, many of whom are genuinely alarmed about the unprecedented attack on religious freedom that trusted leaders are warning them about, and among those who are suspicious that this is little more than a political maneuver. And it's easy to find videos online in which the Catholic clergy speak against the Obama administration in nakedly partisan language. So what's missing in all of this hue and cry? How about just some good old-fashioned facts? The Catholic Bishops' Fortnight for Freedom is being echoed in evangelical circles by a campaign titled 2 Weeks for Freedom, and both are being echoed at the Public Religion Research Institute blog with a Fortnight of Facts. God, I like that. The author is the incomparable Dr. Robert P. Jones, founder and president of PRRI, and I am very happy, as always, to have him join us right now in the studio. Robbie, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks, Welton. Happy to be here.
That's a great title, Fortnight of Facts. I like that. I know it's not your mission to actually diagnose the condition or status of religious freedom in this country today, but you have amassed invaluable insights into how this issue is viewed by Americans, and this is a great time to be focusing on the facts. So in going through all of this stuff, which stands out for you as important, what stands out as most important related to religious liberty?
Sure. So I get some points for pastor points for alliteration
and all that. Yeah, lots of points.
Okay. For Fortnite of facts.
You could do sermon titles anytime.
Great. All right. Well, you know, I think what stands out is, first of all, that religious liberty is alive and well in the U.S., and it's a bedrock principle. When we ask about it in public opinion polls, we get upwards of 9 in 10 Americans saying that this is a fundamental principle on which the country was based and that it should apply even to groups that are not popular. Mm-hmm. So it's something that Americans certainly believe in. But when we go in and we ask whether people think that it's under threat today, we actually find that about 6 in 10 Americans say no. That they don't think that religious liberty is under threat today. And that includes about 6 in 10, 57% of Catholics, lay Catholics, don't think that religious liberty is under attack today. So in the context of the specific Fortnight of Freedom thing we're talking about, the bishops in the Catholic Church, I think, have a little bit of their work cut out for them to sort of, one, make the case that religious liberty is threatened. And I guess the other thing I should say is that when we have asked people, as we did in March in a national poll, even among those who did think that religious liberty was threatened, we asked them an open-ended question and said, okay, well, tell us in your own words then, in what ways is religious liberty being threatened? We found only 6% cited the contraception mandate. So very few people are kind of making even a dotted line between the contraception mandate controversy and religious liberty. What we heard in those open-ended responses really was more older themes that we've heard before of, removing the Ten Commandments from the public square, not being allowed to pray in schools. It was those kinds of things that we heard in those open-ended questions, not really the contraception controversy.
Well, this is a judgment call, I know, but do you think they know what you're talking about when you ask about religious freedom?
You mean in general?
Yeah, in general.
Well, it's interesting. Religious liberty can be used to cover the whole First Amendment. It can be maybe just the establishment side or
right.
just the freedom of exercise
right.
side. And so we've actually asked about both questions that get at both sides. When we ask, there's actually a little bit more support for the free exercise side than there is for the mm-hmm. non-establishment side. We still get about 2/3 of Americans saying that even when we ask the question and say that we should have a strict separation of church and state. So even when we ask the question that strongly, we still get 2/3 of Americans saying agreeing that we should have a strict separation of church and state.
Yeah. When you look at the Americans across the board on this issue. Are there any specific groups that seem to diverge from the norm?
Yeah. Well, like on many of these issues that are around kind of culture, we see white evangelical Protestants having a little bit of a distinct footprint. And in fact, I think one of the things we're seeing not only on this issue, but really in the larger election cycle emerge is a really kind of, you know, at least from a historical perspective, a kind of curious coalition between the Catholic bishops and leadership on the one hand and white evangelical Protestant lay people on the other. Yeah. So, for example, if I spread out on the table and said to you, here are some positions on this issue among religious groups but didn't have them labeled, the one that would line up the most with the Catholic bishops are actually white evangelical Protestants, which mm-hmm. would probably surprise you. If you picked that out, you might think, oh, that's Catholics because they line up with where the bishops are. But in fact, it's white evangelical Protestants. In fact, they're the only group, the only religious group who says where a majority says that religious liberty is being threatened in the U.S. today.
And as you know, I mean, that's a very different situation because it used to be the battle was between white Protestants and the Catholics on whether or not religious freedom was applicable to everybody with equity.
Right. Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic. And we saw it actually in the Republican primaries too with, you know, the Catholic candidate, Rick Santorum. Mm-hmm. His biggest support was not actually from his fellow Catholics. His right. biggest base of support was from white evangelical Protestants. So again, yeah. it's kind of very interesting kind of alignment between Catholic elites and Catholic institutions on the one hand and rank and file evangelicals on the other.
I don't want to mischaracterize anybody here in any tradition, but for a long time, the evangelical community and the Catholic community have seemed to be coming together. And though it looks like one is from the Free Church tradition and the other, of course, mm-hmm. the High Church, hierarchical church tradition, evangelicals have become more and more hierarchical. And it's because I think that in the Catholic Church, the bishops think we've got the final answer on this and you need to pay attention to us, but that's also the view of many evangelical pastors.
Yeah. No, I think this is a really interesting polity question you point out. And in fact, if we want to throw mainline Protestants in the mix, what we've actually seen who have been also more hierarchical, they have bishops mm-hmm. and a kind of hierarchy. Mm-hmm. We've actually seen mainliners moving more toward local church autonomy, especially on controversial issues, right. allowing churches to make their own decisions and not handing it down right. from on high. While I think you're right that among, you know, Baptists, which were some of the most right. Sort of anti-creedal and, you know, anti-hierarchy groups, now requiring professors to sign, you know, creedal affirmations of what their beliefs are, requiring missionaries to do this, and you know, having a kind of top-down hierarchy. It's a pretty interesting shift.
I very well may have said this to you before, but I remember Martin Marty talking about the Catholicization of evangelical Christianity,
yeah.
and that's what we're seeing in terms of polity. Did you see any indications of this heightening of discussion prior to the Fortnight of Freedom?
Mm. Well, there had been this idea of religious liberty being under attack or there being a kind of secular government attack on religious groups is kind of an old trope. I mean, it's been around for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. As you know, it was around some during civil rights movement that we had a kind of federal government overreaching and, you know, down to the South. It has that kind of resonance to it. And evangelicals, I think, built into their theology have a sense of, you know, being in the world but not of it, right? Mm-hmm. And don't mm-hmm. be surprised if you're persecuted. You know, those kinds of things in the New Testament, yeah. I think, are built into evangelical theology in a way that I think fits fairly well with messages about being persecuted, particularly from a kind of big brotherish government that's overreaching. That's the way the storyline goes.
Yeah. You, I want to get to the messaging question. You hear the Catholic bishops saying, we're losing our religious freedom. You hear Interfaith Alliance say, we're losing our religious freedom. But we don't mean the same thing by that, because we're concerned about what the Catholic bishops are doing, and they're concerned about what the people we represent are doing. If I understand it right, Robbie, the Catholic bishops are saying our religious freedom is being threatened because we can't exercise our belief related to contraception. What our side says is we see religious freedom threatened because we see a church wanting freedom for itself that then compromises someone else's freedom. Now, how is that message playing? Are some groups more susceptible to that message than others, or how did you see that?
Yeah, well, I think back to what I was saying with white evangelical Protestants. I think that white evangelical Protestants are a little more prone to sort of being concerned about religious liberty, particularly their own religious liberty being kind of constrained, and this kind of idea of a kind of culture war between secular, you know, humanists on the one hand who are wanting to kind of, strip religion from the public square in every way you might imagine. I mean, again, these are older themes, and this is kind of, I think, new packaging on older mm-hmm. themes in many ways that we're seeing now. Because the curious thing is that the underlying issue of contraception is something that actually, frankly, neither evangelicals nor Catholics have an issue with. Now, the Catholic Church and hierarchy has an issue with it, but just to give you a couple of stats. I mean, the Guttmacher Institute has shown that 98% of sexually active Catholic women report using contraception, in their lifetime. That number squares with CDC figures from a decade ago, so it's been fairly constant. Also, majorities of Catholics don't have a moral problem even with mm-hmm. contraception, despite the church hierarchy's teaching. And evangelicals also don't have a moral problem with contraception. So mm-hmm. there's this kind of curious thing that the underlying issue itself is not actually that controversial, except that the official church teaching is against it. Yeah. So it makes this whole thing very complicated.
As you put together this fortnight of facts and looking over the data, what really stood out?
Yeah. Well, I think the one thing I've already mentioned, and I'll just kind of flag quickly, is this kind of alignment between the Catholic bishops and leadership mm-hmm. and white evangelical Protestants, whereas Catholics are actually look like the general public on this question. They don't see religious liberty threatened. And we get down to even the nitty-gritty issues of which institutions should be required to carry contraceptive coverage in their insurance plans at no cost to their employees. Catholics overall, about 6 in 10, say that religiously affiliated hospitals, schools, and social service agencies should all be required to do this. Catholics as a whole do. Now, white Catholics, a subset of white Catholics, are a little more divided on the issue. But the Catholics overall are actually quite supportive of the HHS mandate, mm-hmm. which is, I think, a little bit surprising that we thought we might see a little bit more alignment. But that's where Catholics are. It is in a pretty different place from where the bishops are on this issue.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems to me that your findings indicate that, yes, there is a broad-based concern for religious freedom in the nation, but most people don't have any idea or sense that is being threatened, and they may be looking at this whole situation and yawning.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, we're actually going to go back in the field after the 4th and see, if it sort of move the needle. My guess is that we won't see, a lot of it. It takes an awful big campaign, especially, again, when you're starting with something that the dots aren't already connected for people, right? So there's a kind of heavy lift here to, one, connect contraception to religious liberty, and then to make religious liberty be something that's threatened. Like both of those things I have to kind of push public opinion on to make all of that cohere.
Yeah.
And so my sense is that given that it doesn't cohere in the first place for most Americans, that it may be a kind of preaching to the choir for the faction of folks that it does, but probably is not going to have much influence on the middle or people on the other side.
Both Governor Romney and President Obama have commented on this issue. Is it going to be a major part of the conversation during the election?
Yeah, I doubt it. I'm thinking that Romney probably would wish this issue would go away, and it wants to talk about the economy, as does right. Obama. I mean, most voters right now are really concerned about their jobs, about unemployment, about the state of the economy. Those are the things at the top of voters' minds, and things like even bigger issues that are much more controversial than this, like abortion, are way down the list of voters' priorities this year. I mean, it really is mm-hmm. about economy and jobs, and I'm sure that's where both presidential campaigns are really wanting to focus their message right now.
Dr. Robert P. Jones is president and founder of the Public Religion Research Institute, a vital source of facts. facts about the role religion is playing in our culture, politics, and nation. The Fortnight of Facts series is ongoing on the blog page at publicreligion.org. Robbie, thanks as always for the great work that you're doing, and thanks for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks for the opportunity to be here.